If at any stage my voice drops or I move away from the microphone, you are entitled to wave at me, and I will not take umbrage. So let us pray before I start. Holy Spirit, may the words written here feed our spirit and be pleasing to you, our Father God, and Jesus our Saviour. Amen. This is the fourth week in succession that we've had readings from the letter to the Hebrews. Our lectionary readings of this cycle focused on the final three chapters, and today's extract is from the concluding chapter 13, a climactic chapter which culminates in that great doctrinal statement in verse 8, that the rock of our faith, Jesus Christ, is a sound and secure foundation for our faith. For he is the same yesterday and today and forever. There's no shadow of change or turning in him. His word is good. Therefore, he will keep his promise and complete the good work he has started in you and me, eventually presenting us faultless with exceeding great joy before the presence of the Father. But I go ahead of myself, and the old Latin phrase came into my head, festina lente, make haste slowly. So I'll back. The letter to the Hebrews stands as one of the great pillars of the epistles in the New Testament. You have the pillar of Romans at one end, and then at the end of it, Paul's writings, you have the epistle to the Hebrews. Romans, Paul's writings, and epistles. Hebrews. Now, this epistle was written about 67 AD, and certainly before 70 AD, because at 70 AD, the Romans tore down and destroyed the great temple in Jerusalem. And as this letter contrasts the superiority of the new covenant in Christ over the old Mosaic covenant, the destruction of the temple would certainly have been mentioned, as the destruction would have dramatically symbolized the passing of the Mosaic order and the birthing of the new order in Christ Jesus. In terms of authorship, and I smile at Stephen, in terms of authorship, despite all the scholarly energy expended, we cannot be sure who actually wrote this letter. But I think there was a spirit here this morning while Stephen was reading. Of particular interest for us is that the first reference to the Hebrews letter appears in the early writing of our patron saint, Clement of Rome, who accepted the letter as Paul's work. And Clement believed that the letter had been written in Hebrew and translated by Luke into Greek. And in around 95 AD, a quotation from the Hebrews letter appears in Clement's letter to the Corinthians. So there. But the authorship has also been attributed to Paul's co-worker and the relative of Mark, Barnabas. So there's another contender. However, because this letter contains the most stylish, literary, and sophisticated Greek in the New Testament, some scholars argue for Apollo being the most plausible author. So, as we say in Ireland, between the jigs and the reels, we do not know who the Holy Spirit's mystery author is. In terms of audience, many commentators, both ancient and modern, believe the letter is addressed mainly to Jewish Christians who were tempted to backslide into non-messianic Judaism. Whether this group of believers were in Rome, Jerusalem, or Alexandria is still debated. However, when all said and done, the most pertinent question is, what does this letter, to the Hebrews, say to this congregation, this Lord's Day morning, in this church building dedicated to St. Clement. Of all the books of the New Testament, when I read this letter, I hear in my mind silent music. The notes are not tentative, tinkly notes, but grand, bold notes, powerful music, verses ringing out in fanfares. In this epistle, you can hear the full-bodied sounds of a Bach-like toccata, or a Bruckner Mass, or a Vivaldi Gloria, or a strident Mahler. The quality is grand, glorious, and courageous. And the verb to bless comes only in the form of the present continuous, which is never ending. Never ending blessing is in this letter. As we glimpse in Jesus the transforming changes that are yet in store for us. Hebrews, I decided, is a cantata. Each section centering on a tangible facet of Christ's accomplishments. Firstly, a movement singing out his salvation's offer. Then a trio celebrating the wonder of his gifts of faith, hope, and love. A choral movement recounting our journeying in him through times of endurance and barrenness. These movements are also interspersed with glorious arias rejoicing in his growth in us through patience and perseverance as we step by step are changed in Christ Jesus from glory into glory. All this wonderful surge of music culminating as soloists, choir and orchestra tumultuously celebrating the glorious return of Jesus. No longer as the suffering servant, but as Christus Victor, Christ the victor, Christ the King. This is what awaits us when we humbly engage with the Holy Spirit and enter into his living word. God's word is no mere empty verbiage. Hebrews says, the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword, it penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We are not the first, neither are we the last, called to journey the way of Jesus. Earth and heaven are full of countless generations like ours, who, like Abraham, find no permanent abode here. We also learn from Hebrews that we are not alone. Last week, we heard of the city of the living God, the New Jerusalem, of innumerable angels in festal gathering, of the assembly of the firstborn, of the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and of Jesus, our great high priest and mediator. So let us not look in, word, and down, but out and up, confident that what our Savior asks of us, his grace will supply. So, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and that sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The letter to the Hebrews spells out that we believers share in the heavenly calling and that we are to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Jesus is the only mediator and reconciler between humanity and the Holy God. He is the only one who could boldly go where no man had gone before. In fact, one of the main points of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is our guarantor of God's promise of redemption. For it is through the blood and death of Jesus, once offered, that we are purified, here and now, to serve the living God. King Jesus is also our unique intercessory priest. And we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. I was going to say weakness, but we have more than one. So we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin. And I have two therefores coming up. Therefore one. Therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Therefore two. Therefore, let us then, and this is significant for us, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. I don't see crawling there. All of that was done by Jesus. Therefore, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of trouble, our time of need. That's more Hebrews. All that is recounted in Hebrews still stands, because in God there is no shadow of turning. His word is his bond. His promises are rock solid. What he promised, he confirmed with an oath. And it is impossible for God to lie. So we who have turned to him, we who have fled to him, can have trust, confidence, and be encouraged. For Jesus, our mediator, has become our great high priest forever. He is the anchor that keeps us safe to the end. Because of that, we can rejoice and celebrate round the Lord's table in a few minutes. For the Holy Spirit, through faith, has burned into our hearts that despite all the uncertainties and upheavals in life, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we must never forget that. Never. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This foundational truth is written for our peace and assurance. Jesus, our Savior, is truth. And as he was before his incarnation, during his existence on earth, and as he is in his resurrected existence, Jesus remains and maintains his word. For, as we read in Numbers, for God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God makes his intentions very clear to us. Jesus will not recant his words. He will not change his mind about us. He will not revoke his offer of unconditional love and grace. Jesus always proves himself faithful. The saints here and there in heaven are his witnesses. History is his witness. So I conclude, and I mean it, with the lines of the most reassuring hymn that I know, and it's not in our book, written by a young Anglican priest in the 18th century, Augustus Toplady. And someday, maybe we'll sing it. It has a rich Welsh tune to it. It's the title of the hymn is A Debtor to Mercy Alone. Breathe it in. A debtor to mercy alone, of sovereign mercy I sing, nor fear with God's righteousness on my person and offering to bring. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. The work which Christ's goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Things future, not things that are now, nor all things below or above, can make him his purpose forego, or sever my soul from his love. My name, from the palms of his hand, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, we to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given, more happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. So think seriously, brothers and sisters, on what Hebrews says. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Let us pray. Lord, bless your words. Holy Spirit, seal your words, that we may rise in love for you. Amen.